if you're listening to the Rant Network and you're part of a minority group, are you asking yourself today, are you being treated fairly by other minority groups? Are you being treated fairly by the government and by media? In all likelihood, if you think about it really long and hard, depending on what where you're at, the answer is probably no. Welcome back, everybody, to the Rant Network. I am David Solomon, sunglasses. I lost a pair, so I'm going to have a hard time seeing the screen today. He's Stuart Brisgell. I am David Solomon. Let's dive right back into these unfiltered issues today that span the news, pop culture, politics, and so much more. Today, we're going to dissect the absurdity of minority groups. And we're going to ask some serious questions here and more to ponder than anything else, because we're not here necessarily to drive a message on this deep-seated issue. It's more about keeping it real and having a dialogue about this issue that just doesn't go away. So sit back as we dive into another rant here at the Rant Network. Stuart, you know, one of the things that yesterday I stood with 10,000 people, and I say people to stand in celebration of the 76th rebirth of the state of Israel. And this is not a rant about Israel. It's an incredible rally of people. And when I was spoke, a few people spoke to me about this and said, you know, the idea, the beauty of this is here's a Jewish group organizing a free, open rally to express its love for the state of Israel. And just like the Greek community did not long ago, the Independence Day for Greece and other communities get to do it. It's a beautiful thing. Except the scrutiny that we get actually every year, we've been doing this since 2000. The scrutiny we've been getting is like, ugh, you Jews, ugh, again, ugh, ugh, ugh. It's funny how some minorities, Stuart, get one treatment and others simply cannot get a fair shake. Stuart, what do you get to see?
You know, listen, let's sort of break it down and let's not get called a racist while we're at it. So if I use any vernacular that you sort of have issue with, I apologize. How many people that call themselves non-gender male, white, or heterosexual? So that would encompass everyone that would consider themselves to be gay, LGBTQIA, everything. I always screw those initials up. There's about 700 million people in the world, globally. How many people of color, ex-Asians, in the world? 7.8 billion people. And I just want to go and throw one last thing over there, because let's be honest, 18.5% of the world population is Chinese. 17.8% of the world population is Indian. Right? So there's a lot of people out there with big, big numbers. David Solomon, those are all considered lobbied minorities in the United States, correct?
They're considered minorities in the United States, for sure.
How many Jews are there in the world?
I think the number is about 15, 17 million. I can't even remember the exact number anymore.
I think it's 15.6 million.
As of 2020, right?
Yeah, it's an older figure.
Okay.
So if 14% of the world is black, 10% is white, 6% is Hispanic, 5% is mixed race, and 60% is Asian by world charts, right? What percent would that be that are Jews? Not people that are practicing the Jewish religion either. Let's remove religion from this just for a second, because Jews are considered a race. What percentage would that be, David? 0.00 what? One?
Listen, 15 million out of 9 billion. Let me do the math. We're 0.02% or some stupid number.
Okay. But now the world is super fascinated and uber, uber jealous of the smallest of the small minority groups in the United States, which, by the way, doesn't have publicly funded colleges like Howard University, doesn't have programs that are minority owned or able to be a part of a class considered minority owned in the United States, right? They don't have a status of immigration or substandard. I mean, there are equally as many poor Jews as there are blacks. However, they're just more poor blacks than are Jews, considering that there's 7.8 billion blacks and only 50 million Jews. So what is the big kerfuffle, David? Why is everyone so jealous of those Jews?
But it's not just the Jews, Stuart. Look at the Asian community. And I think that the commonality in a lot of these communities, Stuart, it's a bit of two things. One, look at the difference in mindset. And I'll quote Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and other black community leaders, frankly, who've said enough whining and crying, let's just take care of ourselves.
Yeah.
And what has happened is a lot of the minority communities have heard from their community leaders, politicians, Black Lives Matter, others. We know the path to prosperity, success. We know the path to having a better life. Fund me, we'll take care of you. And as we saw with BLM and other said movements, it was a money grab, not a social improvement. And if you fast forward 5 years and you ask people today, are you better off than what you were 5 years ago? They'll blame the government. They'll blame everybody because that's what the statements are. The government will do this and da-da-da-da. And it's always the government, the government, the government. When you look in your own insular communities and you ask yourself, why are we not taking care of ourselves? And the good example, when you're 20 million out of 330, it's a pretty significant number. And you look at the communities today that have black mayors, right, Stuart? And it's really an incredible number, including New York City, including Baltimore, including other cities. Where are the community leaders to effect the change? So really what's happening is the attitude is, we're going to wait for handouts. We're going to wait for somebody else to help us out. That's what happens. Asian communities, Jewish communities, other minorities, simply put, say the following. We're not going to wait for anybody. We can't. And I'll give you an example, Stuart, and I think that this is really very pertinent, is that if you look at the Asians and the Jewish communities over the last 100, 150 years since coming to America, what is the common thread? You weren't allowed in. Whether it was universities like Harvard that had a quotas, whether it was golf courses, hospitals, schools, institutions, you weren't allowed in. So what did these communities do? Build their own.
Yep.
They fundraise their own. If you look today at those institutions called Mount Sinai or other names like that, what's common is that that community raised all the money, trained all the people, and then open the doors to everybody.
Yep.
And I'll tell you, the Montreal community, for example, the Jewish General Hospital, over 70 or 80%, I can't remember the number that was told to me, the money is raised by the Jewish community to support the hospital, but the users of the hospital, okay, the users are like over 80% not Jewish. And by the way, if you walk down the halls of the Jewish General Hospital, it's a minority fest in terms of who is training, working there, as doctors, nurses, orderlies, you name it. So you walk there, you think you're in a very inclusive environment, but the reality is they're taking advantage of your system that you built. And then they complain to the government, why isn't this better? So forgive my voice. There's the mindset, Stuart, of these socioeconomic minorities. Is simply, is it jealousy or is it cultural attitude that continues to prevail to say, wait, somebody will bail you out?
Like, what I find, completely desensitized is the current vice president of the United States and her sister moved to Montreal because her mother, Gopalanan Harris, was working in a laboratory at the Jewish General Hospital. It is mind-boggling that that woman whose career was launched at the Montreal Jewish General Hospital, she doesn't have more love and affinity for the state of Israel either. I mean, let's be honest. She got where she got because her mother had a career that came from that hospital. You know, because she was a breast cancer pioneer who came to the United States from India at the age of 19. I mean, this girl, her mother, is really an immigrant story. And as you said, the Jewish General Hospital was an open arms. Come work here. We don't care. We want the best of the best, which leads me to segue into hopefully another rant in the future. The American desire for second best and equality. The Jewish General drove itself to be the best that it could be with the money that it raised within an organization to give to everyone that needed help, which is what the state of Israel does.
But it's not just, but you know, but that was supposed to be the American dream. That was supposed to be the American dream. That's supposed to be Canada. That's supposed to be the West. The West is, you know, like, what is it? The, you know, the, with the Statue of Liberty, you know, bring me your tired, your weary, blah, 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 and come and build yourself a real life. But what ends up happening is we brought in people into this countries who are sitting here today disrupting. And I'm using that word strongly. They're disrupting the social fabric of the communities to drive on their own agendas. Yeah. And what ends up happening is that you have other minority groups hooking themselves to them, thinking, ah, this is the way to affect change. You know, minority groups, you know, it, when you come to, when you're your first generation and you talk from people from South America, Hispanics who came in from Cuba, coming to the United States, if you ever sit and talk to them, and you're in Florida, Stuart, and you must have spoken to several of them, what are they going to tell you? Life in Cuba is horrific. Anything is better than that. And the United States is like a dream. And then you sit there one, two, three generations later, and these same people from who came from these backgrounds are crapping all over the United States saying, this is the worst country to live in. I mean, this is the mindset that you've created within these minorities. But how is that helpful? In what way?
Right. But, you know, David, you know, this anti-Americanism from within, the George Soroses that are licking their chops at his son, you know, to be honest with you, David, why are they still in America?
Well, no, but George Soros is a great example of a guy who's taking advantage of minority communities. You know, he's taking advantage of them by paying off, and it was reported yesterday that he's been paying off, you know, a variety of different media groups and what have you to censor the election, to mess with people, create, you know, a disruption. But that's just to show you how naive these communities have become, because instead of pushing back and saying, oh, hell no, we won't tolerate this, like other communities. And we do the Jewish community. We talk about the Asian communities, whatever, because they stand for themselves. They stand strong and say, we won't let others disrupt our lives. We're going to build for ourselves. And when I say Asian community, that's the Chinese, that's the Japanese communities, that's the Korean communities. Same mindset. They stand up to build for themselves, not wait for the handouts. That's aggravating, Stuart, to no end.
But I just want to throw in one last final twist before we wrap it.
Yep.
I mentioned the Soros clan that built their fortune on the backs of Americans and minorities. How about the Rockefeller brothers, who inherited a fortune? And it seems that these two big families that cheated, lied, stole their way to the top.
Yep.
Hope I don't get in trouble for making that comment.
Well, Stuart, let me tell you something. Absolutely. But look, the minority groups today need to stand up for themselves and get stand strong and not sit there and cry and whine, government, wah, wah, wah. Governments don't care, folks. You are a pawn for these governments. The more you whine and cry and the more you depend on the government, the more they're going to take advantage of you.
I agree.
That's the sad part. And you see it time and time again with the African-American communities. You see it again with the LGBTQ communities. They are not, they need to stand strong for themselves and untether themselves from the government. Folks, that's it for today. We hope you've enjoyed today's dialogue. We're back on Friday. Well, at least I will. On Friday at noon Eastern. No, you're going to be there Friday. Sorry, it's Monday. You won't be here. So sorry. We'll be here on, folks, we're social media. Share us with us. We're on our website. We've got all kinds of great feedback from your, from folks like yourself. And we really do appreciate it. So look, keep up the ranting, folks. Keep up the dialogue. And we look forward to seeing you on Friday.